This is a pre-recorded broadcast of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, Dr. Patty, and you are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today we're going to be talking about discipline. We're going to talk about discipline with kids. And so you can extrapolate this to other kinds of boundaries and things like that if you want, but the main focus I want to talk about is some effective disciplinary tools for children. And this is something I've taught in my private practice. I've been in private practice for over 34 years, and this is a tried and true thing. I used it with my own kids when they were growing up. They're adults now. And I've taught it to many, many people. So I know that it works, and you can kind of, you know, fine-tune it for your family and your children and things like that. So as we go into talking about discipline with kids, there's a few things we need to think about. One is, what kind of personality do your kids have? For example, if you look back on my podcast, you can find a show, one of the episodes called Ultrasensitivity. If you have a child who's an ultrasensitive, they're the type of kid that if you say to them, "I'm so disappointed in you," they're crushed. That's their discipline. You can talk to them and they hear you and they feel horrible and they carry a lot of guilt and remorse and all of that kind of stuff. They're really ultra sensitive. These are also the type of children, if you over discipline them, for example, if you use corporal punishment with them or you're way, way too harsh with them, you can actually crush their spirit. So you want to know what type of child you have, whether they're kind of an ultra sensitive or if they're one of those kids that nothing really fazes them. You can take away anything and it doesn't work. It's hard to find leverage with them of something that they really like. You know, like if you take away their phone, they go, "I don't care." Those are the kids that are not as that ultra sensitive kind of personality. So for starters, stop and think what kind of child you have. All right. And that's just a beginning place, because the main reason we want to discipline our children is because we want to teach them. Discipline is not about control, although it does help you feel like you've got some measure of control when you have a good disciplinary plan in place. But it's about correction, and it's about teaching, and it's about guiding our kids to become the type of adults that we would like them to be. So when you decide you're going to fix the disciplinary procedures in your house, you start by saying, what kind of kids do we have? And you start by, and then you go to the idea of, why do I want to discipline? So if you've been disciplining in a kind of random, emotionally chaotic manner with your kids, it might be one of the reasons why discipline in your household hasn't been working really well. What I've seen in my practice for many, many years is that people who discipline from an emotionally based place. In other words, your kids are frustrating you, they're pushing on you, they're pushing their boundaries, they're driving you nuts, and you finally explode and start screaming, or you tell them forever, "Don't do that, don't do that," and you do it 40 million times until they finally push you over the edge, and then you're screaming and hitting, and all chaos breaks loose, and then you feel badly about yourselves, and it didn't really work as a disciplinary procedure either. That kind of random, emotionally based, chaotic discipline does not have a good response. So one of the things I want to teach you how to do today is to create a disciplinary plan that doesn't leave you feeling like a horrible bad guy and a rotten parent, but also works really well for your children. And it's a really cool plan, it's really simple, and it's very effective. But let's talk about the other reasons of why we want to discipline our children. We want them to have boundaries. We want them to know where they end and someone else begins, and where it's appropriate for them to insert their will or to practice silence or to respect a boundary that's laid down for them. So it gets down to expectations. If your children have boundaries, they know what is expected of them, and you have been able to clearly communicate those expectations in a way that they can hear it and they can handle it. So if you are clarifying your expectations with good communication, then you're setting boundaries that set your kids up for success. Then when you institute a disciplinary procedure that is in relation to those boundaries, the discipline makes sense. And it isn't about you blowing off steam or airing your frustration or finally trying to get them in line. It's about that overall thing that we want to do with our kids, and that's teach them to be really responsible and good adults. So in order to understand how discipline is going to work, I want to teach you some of the basic principles of reinforcement. I'm going to give this to you in real simple language. If you want to study this, you can and go and get more detailed on it. But there's basically three types of things when it comes to reinforcement. You can either make a behavior happen more, or you can try to make a behavior not happen anymore. So reinforcement is the word that's used when we want to make something happen more. So there's two kinds of reinforcement. There's positive reinforcement and there's negative reinforcement. Both of these tend to make a behavior happen more. We're using the word reinforcement. Let me give you an example. You've got a three-year-old and you're in the grocery store and your three-year-old starts screaming, "I want the gum, I want the gum, Mommy, I want the gum." And you're saying, "No, honey, you can't have the gum," and you're trying to be very reasonable, and the three-year-old's winding up. And then the three-year-old's flopping on the floor screaming for the gum. And if you give them the gum, if you say, "Okay, fine, here's the gum," that's what we would call positive reinforcement. You just gave your kid what he or she was screaming for, and that taught them a really important lesson. If I want the gum, and I scream for it, and I have a total wobbly in the middle of the floor, Mommy will give me the gum. You just taught them to have another temper tantrum next time they come. Okay, now let's talk about what negative reinforcement would be. Let's say that they're screaming for the gum, and then you whip them up and you spank their butt and you drag them out to the car and they're getting a ton of attention, a ton of negative attention. What you also just taught them is if they scream and yell for the gum, they get a whole lot of attention, even though it's a negative kind of attention. It will reinforce the behavior and they're most likely going to scream for the gum again. So one of the most powerful things we can do is to do this thing called extinction. Think of the dinosaurs. The dinosaurs went extinct, all right? So extinction. If you give absolutely zero attention to a bad behavior or a behavior that you don't want to see anymore, the chance is less likely that that behavior will come again. So let's go back to the three-year-old having a wobbly in the middle of the grocery store screaming for the gum. They flop down the floor, they start screaming. You walk away. Now, in this day and age, we have to stay safe, right? So you walk to the end of the aisle and you keep watching so to make sure nobody kidnaps your child. But pretty soon, the three-year-old gets up, looks around. Mommy's not watching. Mommy's not making any kind of move toward giving you gum or doing anything. And they might come looking for you or might stand up and stop crying. When they stop crying, you go back and you say, "Okay, are you finished now? Okay, let's keep shopping." You gave them zero attention for the gum. The tendency for that is to extinguish the behavior. So you can either positively reinforce a behavior or negatively reinforce it, or you can try to do extinction to get rid of it. Now, there's one other thing that is super powerful, and that is intermittent reinforcement. Let's say that your kid flops on the floor, and four or five times you don't give them the gum. And the fifth or sixth time or the tenth time, you give in and you give them the gum. You just did intermittent reinforcement. It is powerful for a behavior to be intermittently reinforced. It will make it happen more often than you realize. All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I want to begin to teach you a disciplinary procedure that is super cool. You'll feel good about yourself and it actually works. So we're going to go to break.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR. Now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well on your tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
This is a pre-recorded broadcast of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and you are listening to the beautiful Native American flute music of Randy McGinnis. If you'd like to hear more of Randy's music, you can go to randymcginnis.com or Spotify, iTunes, YouTube. His music is everywhere. It's beautiful. Okay, so we're talking about effective discipline for children. And I want to teach you the basics of the routine that I use with my own children and that I've taught many, many people over 34 years to use. And feel free to modify this for what works for you or your kids or what type of personality your children have. But this is a disciplinary procedure that I call three strikes and you're out. And there's an interesting thing about this. You figure out, you listen to this podcast, you listen to the radio show, and you figure out how to do this. And then the first thing you're going to do is sit down with your spouse, your partner, your kids, and you're going to say, we're going to start using this disciplinary technique, and we want to explain to you kids what it is and what to expect. So let me teach it to you first. In three strikes and you're out, think about baseball, all right? The first strike is when your child's doing something that you don't like. They're either having a behavior you don't like or they're not listening to you. This is a very effective disciplinary tool for disrespect. Any of you that have teenagers know that teenagers often have a mouth on them, and that's what gets them in trouble almost more than anything. So disrespect and mouthiness, this is a really good disciplinary technique. So with strike one is you will say to your child, you are behaving in a way that's not acceptable and you need to stop. So let's give an example of that. Let's say you asked your child to clear the dishwasher and you're getting the typical, why do I have to empty the dishwasher? It's not my turn to empty the dishwasher. I have to empty the dishwasher all the time. And you're rolling your eyes thinking, oh, do we have to go through this again? And so a strike one would be very calm, very quiet. You'd look at your teenager and say, you know, this is a strike one. I asked you to do something respectfully, and you are being disrespectful in your attitude. I would like you to stop. And you say, this is a strike one. And you're that calm. Then if they escalate their behavior, they keep going, they throw a wobbly. And I love that word, actually. I'll tell you where that comes from. In England, in the United Kingdom, they call a temper tantrum a wobbly. And I just think that's beautiful because it fits. It's like wobble, wobble, wobble all over the place. So your teenager then ups the ante, throws a bigger fit, stomps around, really has an attitude. And this is where you do a strike two. Now, strike two has a different flavor to it. You go over, you get eye level with your child. If they're a three-year-old, you're down low. If they're a teenager, you might have to stand on a stool if you're short like I am, but I'm teasing. But you go and get eye level with them, and you have your angry eyes on, you have your firm eyes on, and you make sure they are watching you and looking at you, and you say, this is a strike two. Your behavior is unacceptable. This is not going to go forward from here. And if it does, you will have a strike three and there will be consequences. So a strike two is firm. You've got that mom or dad look on your face. You made sure that they know you mean business. And you're making sure they're listening because you are looking straight at them. And you make them stop what they're doing to listen. So now you're at a strike two. If it goes to strike three, you go back to your calm voice and you say, all right, we are now to strike three. There will be consequences. The consequences for their behavior has been planned out in advance. The kids know exactly what the consequences are going to be. And you've all talked about it. They know what happens after a strike one. They know if they push it past a strike two, that as soon as they get to a strike three, all negotiating is over, all chances are over, and consequence is now in place. What's really cool about three strikes and you're out is that it's very definitive. So often as parents, we draw a line in the sand, then we draw another line in the sand, and then we say, if you don't quit, you're going to be in trouble, and it's vague, and we're not really clear in our expectations, and we feel like we've drawn 10 or 15 lines in the sand, and then we feel manipulated. And so then you overreact, and then you feel like a bad guy or a bad parent. So three strikes and you're out lets you really sit down with your kids and say, there's going to be no more lines in the sand. I'm not going to keep giving you warnings. I'm not going to say it 20 million times. You're going to get asked nicely, respectfully, to do something or to stop what you're doing. And then if that doesn't work, then we're going to go to a strike two, which will be firm, and you'll know I mean business. You go past a strike two, then on strike three, the consequences will strike. Just like in baseball, three strikes and you're out. Okay, so when you sit down with your family to begin to talk about three strikes and you're out, one of the things you're going to want to talk about is what are the consequences for certain actions. And I'll tell you, in our household and in many, many households I've taught this to, the consequences for disrespect, mouthiness, swearing, the type of things that we really don't want to see as parents, we want kids to be respectful and listen. But the after the third strike, the consequences that hit are what I call 24-hour grounding from life as you know it. And that means that, let's say it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon and your teenager's mouthing off about emptying the dishwasher. You get to a strike three and you say, you know, we agreed, strike three, you're grounded for 24 hours from everything. That means their phone, the computer, their video games, everything. All they can do is go sit in the room and read a book. Grounded from TV. If it happens to be that that's the night of the slumber party, they're grounded from that too. And sometimes during a strike too, you want to remind them of that. Look, you've got a slumber party tonight with your friends, and if you want to go to that, you better stop now because you're about to go to a strike three. So they lose everything for 24 hours, and they have to sit in a room and read, or they can sit out in the family room and read if nobody's watching TV. If they do, then they have to go in their room. I can tell you, kids hate that, especially nowadays when they lose their phone for 24 hours. It's like you've cut off their arm or something, and it's terrible. I mean, they're going, I can't stand it, because really they're addicted. But that's a subject for a whole other show. All right, so they're grounded for 24 hours from life as they know it. And here's some of the parameters from grounded from life as you know it. When I would ground my kids for 24 hours, there was a couple reasons for that. One, when you ground them when you're overreacting and you tell them they're grounded for a month, well, guess what? You're grounded for a month. When you tell them they're grounded for 2 weeks and they're not going anywhere, you're not going anywhere. So 24 hours is doable. So if you say it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon right now, you are grounded until 3 o'clock tomorrow. Now, let's say that sometime during like 7 o'clock that night, they do it again. Well, now they're grounded from 7 p.m. to 7 p.m. Their 24 hours goes from any time they do disrespect. If they want to get off of being grounded from life as they know it at 3 o'clock, they need to not mouth off again between right now at 3 p.m. and tomorrow at 3 p.m. So they learn this pretty quickly because most of our kids are pretty intelligent. And when you have defined this, and if you as a parent are consistent with how you exercise this discipline, your kids will pick up pretty quickly that you mean business. So when I would ground my kids, when my husband and I would do this, they knew that when they sat in the room and they were grounded from everything electronic and whatever, if they touched that thing, if they turned on their stereo in their room, they weren't allowed to have TVs in the room, but if they turned on the stereo in their room, it was gone. And the reason for that was because they needed to learn that their word was their bond. They needed to learn to respect the consequence that they brought on themselves with their behavior. So if they knew that if they were grounded from that stereo, they better not turn it on for 24 hours. Because if they got caught turning that on, there was no negotiating. The stereo was simply gone. And it was gone because they did not follow through with their promise, their word, that they would stay grounded for 24 hours from life as they knew it. So that was really cool because never once did we have to take that away from our kids. We had good kids, but they could get mouthy. And they never once had to have their stereo taken away because they violated that agreement. So when you're sitting down with your family and you're trying to teach them the three strikes and you're out, and you're deciding on what the consequences will be for certain behaviors, you're teaching them that part of this disciplinary tactic is for them to learn to accept their consequences with grace, which means they get it, they accept it, and they honor the parameters of the restriction. So as a family, you might agree that disrespect is 24 hours from life as you know it. You might have something harsher for telling a deliberate lie or stealing or getting in trouble at school for something like bullying or something, cheating on a test. There might be a harsher punishment for that. And you might agree, look, if you do that, you're going to be grounded from everything extracurricular, everything fun for 2 weeks. You know, you can have those kind of parameters listed in how you decide what's going to happen. But it's really kind of fun when you sit down and you tell your kids, we're doing this to help you learn how to rein in your behavior, how to practice silence, how to close your mouth and not keep going, and how to participate in what you think are fair consequences for behavior that kids do that they need to learn how not to do it. Now, I want you to think about something like in your job, if you're a boss, people that you work with, don't you wish some of them had learned some of these skills? That they had learned how to practice silence, to rein it in, to not speak when they shouldn't, to head down and work hard. If they make a promise, follow through. These are the type of things that when we discipline our children well, they become really responsible adults that people like to be around and like to work with. It also sets them up to have really powerful relationships. So we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I'm going to give you some more examples of how three strikes and you're out works. And we're going to just fine tune this and make it really possible for you guys. So we're going to go to break.
Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits, and and churches, and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit 5starbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Orchard Nutrition Center presents the Healthy Living Expo, November 2nd, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Red Lion Hotel. There'll be free samples, information, and education all dedicated to your health, and it's free admission. Come check out the dozens and dozens of booths, plus free educational talks in the Sundial Room with expert guest speakers all dedicated to your health. So make plans to bring your family to the Healthy Living Expo, November 2nd, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Red Lion Hotel. Brought to you by Orchard Nutrition Center.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167, 241-1167.
Real people, real winners, especially on your birthday. Watch for your free play offer in the mail. Didn't get your birthday gift? Come on in to Wind River Resort and Casino on your birthday and collect your free play. Or if you have birthday offers from other casinos, bring them in and we'll match them up to $100 in free play. And to sweeten the deal, you'll also receive triple points on your special day. Download the Wind River app. It's playtime all the time at Wind River Resort and Casino. One birthday gift or free play redeemed per year. Free slot play limited to $100.
This is a pre-recorded broadcast of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. You are listening to Randy McGinnis's incredibly beautiful Native American flute music. Randy McGinnis is a Native American Flutist of the Year for the Native American Music Awards for 2017, and he has won numerous awards, played all over the world. He has 6 CDs, and his music is incredibly beautiful. This track is called Freedom, and it is from his CD called Freedom's Hope. So go look for Randy's music, and we just appreciate him allowing us to use it here on the show. So we're talking about discipline, and discipline of our kids. And, you know, I heard something really cool a while ago, that as parents, if we raise really good adults, responsible adults, and we don't spoil our kids and we give them good discipline, then we can enjoy our grandchildren when we have them. If we raise self-entitled, undisciplined, disrespectful children, then we're going to be raising our grandchildren, not enjoying our grandchildren. So there's future hope for what you're going to go through in your life as you really put the time and energy into disciplining your kids with consistency and in a respectful way that really teaches them what they need to learn in order to become responsible adults. So you were learning about the 3 strikes and you're out. And that's really cool because it explains to your kids, they know it's coming, you've already talked about it, they know what to expect, they know the parameters, they know that mom or dad's not going to give them 10 tries. You're going to get 2 tries, and then, boom, the consequences fall on the 3rd strike. You are out. So I'm going to give you a couple of other things that are tools to use to teach your kids. One of them is to teach them the concept of a do-over. And a do-over is where, A do-over is where they get it that they are heading down a path of destruction and they're trying to rein in their mouth and they're trying to stop acting like they're acting. And you can teach them that they can put their hands up and do that kind of universal sign for stop. And they can say, Mom, can I have a do-over? Dad, can we start this all over? I'm just running amok here. This isn't working. And what you say to your kid is, yeah, let's start all over. I'll tell you a cute story. My oldest daughter is a fiery redhead, and we call her our Ginger Snap because she's always been our Ginger Snap. So what would get her in trouble more than anything else in her life was her mouth, because she would just have to have the last word, and she'd have to be argumentative, and she'd have to get all fiery, and she'd escalate the whole situation. So I remember she was about 15 years old, and she's standing in the hallway, and she's about to really, the third strike's about to hit. She's going to lose life as she knows it. And I remember she looked at me and went, I'm trying to stop myself. And she claps her hand over her mouth, and she goes, can I have a do-over? And I said, yes. She walks away, goes in the room, closes the door, and I kind of stood there in the hallway going, okay. I didn't know how long this was going to take. And probably 30 seconds later, she comes out, and she goes, hey, Mom, can we talk about that thing about the, I don't even remember what the situation was, but she had a total change in attitude. And I just started laughing, and then she started laughing, and it broke all the tension, but it was so cool that she knew she had to learn how to shut herself up, to practice silence, to quit digging her hole deeper by going on and escalating it to a new level. And then that's the kind of behavior you can positively reinforce. I remember telling her, I am so proud of you. That was so incredibly cool. And I love it that you reined yourself in and stopped. That just gives me a ton of respect for how you're really starting to get that you need to do this. So it was fun that she was beginning to learn that her own worst enemy was her mouth. So it was pretty cool. And I'll tell you one other story with my ginger snap. She would get herself in trouble with her mouth. And I remember we were doing three strikes and you're out. And she was just really escalating, and I said to her, you are at strike two, and if you keep going, you're going to be at strike three, and you're going to be grounded for 24 hours, and tomorrow is the eighth grade trip to Waterworks, and you're not going to be able to go because you will be grounded, and I will follow through with that. So she was a boundary pusher, and so she had to keep going, and she ended up getting her third strike, and she ended up being grounded for 24 hours, and she is going to miss the eighth grade Waterworks trip. And so I felt horrible, but I also knew that I had to stand my ground and I had to follow through and do what I had promised I would do. And so she missed the Waterworks trip. And I remember talking to the school secretary going, she can't go because she got in trouble. And the secretary going, yes, you go. You follow through with what you said. This is awesome because no one ever follows through and this is cool. And she really gave me some support. It was so fun. And it was a huge impression on our daughter. She knew that we warned her, we tried to get her not to go there. She did, and she ended up with the consequence. And it really shifted her behavior because she knew we meant business and we were going to follow through. So even though that broke my heart, I mean, I was crying because she didn't get to go on her eighth grade Waterworks trip, it turned out to be a wonderful thing for her in the long run. And now as an adult, she can look back at that and say, yeah, that was a real turning point for me, that I got it, that I had to listen when consequences were coming down the pike at me. So when you're doing the three strikes and you're out, remember that you've already explained this to your children. So they know well, they're well aware of what you mean by this. And they also know what the consequences are going to be. Because as a family, you have decided 24-hour grounding, or you will lose your phone for a week, or whatever are the leverage that you would have that works, that you can follow through with, that motivates your child to shift their behavior. And remember, if you ground your child from their phone for a week, but you hand it back to them tomorrow because they've got to call you after school to pick them up, you didn't ground them from their phone for a week. So unless you can take that phone and put it in the safe so they can't get it, you haven't grounded them from their phone. So don't make a consequence that you cannot follow through with. It's one of the reasons I love 24 hours from life as you know it, because we could all dig deep and do the 24 hours. So figure out the consequences. Explain to everybody what you're going to do. Now, let's say you have a real small child. You have a 2 or 3-year-old. You can start doing three strikes and you're out, and the consequence can be something that's age-appropriate, such as a timeout in the corner. But what you would do, like let's give an example of a 3-year-old or a 2-year-old. They're being too rough with the dog. And you say, you know, you don't want to be rough with the dog. You're going to hurt the dog. You can't kick the dog. You can't pull her ears like that. You can't do that. That would be a strike one. You're teaching, you're calm, you're showing them, you're moving them away from the dog, trying to redirect. Then let's say they look at you, give you that look, and they go over and kick the dog. And they're kind of seeing what you're going to do because two-year-olds do that. Three-year-olds do that. Now they just did a strike two. You go over, get down on their eye level, you take them by the shoulders, and you say, I told you that you cannot be rough with a dog, and now you are going to have a timeout. And you go put them in their timeout spot, and they'll scream and cry, and they don't want a timeout. And for little tiny children, the amount of age they are is about the right amount of time for them to sit in timeout. So a two-year-old can kind of learn how to sit in timeout for 2 minutes. It'll take them a while to work up to that. A 10-year-old could sit in timeout for 10 minutes, maybe 15. But what you're trying to do is get them to recognize that you nicely asked them to stop, then you did with more firmness, you told them what they're doing wrong, and the consequent followed immediately. So you wouldn't give a 2 or 3-year-old 24-hour grounding as you know it. They can't hold that attention span for what they're being disciplined for that long. But giving them a timeout immediately and then helping them sit in their timeout spot for 2 minutes. And when you are holding, like say you're holding them gently in their timeout spot, look away. That's part of the extinction. You don't want to give them any, as little attention as you can when they're having a wobbly. All right? So you're helping a 2-year-old learn how to sit in timeout. You're going to gently hold them in timeout and you're going to look away and not talk to them. Don't engage with them. After a while, you should be able to leave your 2 or 3-year-old in timeout and turn around and face the other way or walk into the other room or walk away to extinguish the behavior. You don't want timeout to be attention that they're getting. You want timeout to be the consequence for what you already warned them gently about and then firmly told them was unacceptable. So that's an example with small children or young children. Let's go to kind of that middle age, that 8, 9, 10, 11 sort of age, the tweens sort of thing. Let's say that you say to your 9-year-old, hey, would you empty the trash? And they say, sure, I'll do it at the next commercial. How often do we hear that? The next commercial. Or when I'm done playing this video game. And you go, okay. And then you notice that the commercial goes by. Are there now on to the next video game or whatever? You go in and you say, you know, this is a strike one. I asked you nicely to empty the trash. You told me you would, and you have not followed through with your behavior. And you're kind. You're gentle. And you walk away. Then let's say they ignore you some more. Or they say, well, I just want to, they have an excuse. Or I have to, if I don't, then I'm going to lose this level or whatever their video game slash TV excuse is. Then you go over and you turn off the game, you turn off the TV, you get down on their eye level and you say, look, this is a strike two. I asked you nicely to empty the trash. You told me you would at the first commercial. You blew right through that. I asked you nicely. And now you're at a strike two. You either get up and empty the trash right now or you're going to a strike three. You've lost all your leeway here. And you're firm. You're not cussing. You're not swearing. You're not threatening to take away their life forever. You're not threatening to ground them for a month. You're not threatening to spank them or anything else. You are giving them exactly what's going to happen. So most kids, once they realize that the boundary means business, especially if you've got a decent kid, a good kid, they'll get up and empty the trash. And then you say to them, I appreciate that you followed through with what you said you were going to do. I like that. Now let's say they don't. Then you go over to them and you say, this is strike three. Get over there and empty the trash right now. They do not escape from emptying the trash or emptying the dishwasher, whatever it is you're asking them to do. Go empty the trash and then you go to your room because you are grounded from life as you know it for 24 hours because you disrespected what I asked you to do and you pushed the limits. And there's a consequence for that. That's an example of how you would use that. What I used to like about three strikes and you're out is I didn't feel like the raggy, nasty mom who was constantly saying, cut that out, stop that or else. It made me feel like a better mom. It made my kids realize that almost all the time, no one is ever perfect, but most of the time, the consequence was the consequence. And then we followed through with the consequences. So if they were grounded for 24 hours, we knew. They knew. And everybody followed through. In fact, we would even sometimes write it on a little whiteboard. So-and-so grounded till 3 o'clock Friday, you know, because this is 3 o'clock on Thursday. So these are just some of the examples on how to use the three strikes and you're out. When we come back for the last segment of the show, I'm going to give you a brief overview on how to use it all and how to put it into practice. And remember, you have to do what's right for your kids. Okay, so we're going to go to break. When we come back, I'll give you an overview and we'll really make this work.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Signs, signs, signs. That's right, Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs, we do them. Vehicle wraps, we do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob, could we sign a monster truck read? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, the longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, and insured contractors, we can install them and other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at WonderlandSigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 33 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
This is a pre-recorded broadcast of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. You were actually just listening to me play didgeridoo. I love didge. It is an awesome instrument. Speaks to your heart. And that's Randy McGinnis and me playing together on the journey on track 8 called Hope. So we're talking about discipline, and I want to go over, kind of give you an overview of what we talked about, maybe a couple more examples, let you go away feeling like, I can do this. We can put this in place in our family and change the negativity, the chaos, the screaming and yelling, the feeling like a bad parent. Because I'll tell you, every one of us that's ever parented a kid feels like that at some time. I used to wonder what it is my kids are going to need to be in therapy for to overcome the mistakes that we made as parents, because you parent by the seat of your pants, and you know, we're much better at parenting by the time we're grandparents. It's way cool. But recognize that you're not the only one who feels like you mess it up and you're not doing the best job disciplining or parenting. It is the hardest, best thing you'll ever do is be a parent. So let's go back over this a little bit. We're disciplining our children not for our own emotional release or so that we feel like we have control or because we need to be the master or the mistress of the household. That's not the reason we discipline our kids. We are disciplining them to give them boundaries and to teach them respect and to help them become really productive, good adults who respect boundaries and know how to control their own behavior. Now, some of you out there have very challenging kids. You might have kids on the autistic spectrum or behavior problem kids, or you might have adopted children that were traumatized. Kids have their own issues as well as adults. And so if you are trying to parent a very special needs child or a very reactive, emotionally difficult child to parent, know that I understand that. And I'm not saying that three strikes and you're out, will work for absolutely everyone. But I can tell you that kids on the spectrum, autistic spectrum, or kids with behavior problems do better when they know the parameters and they know the expectations. And we as parents are very consistent with how we keep those rules going in our house. So it might take you longer to get this going and to get some kind of rhythm of respect and working it out if you've got a difficult child. But don't give up. Keep trying, because they will do better as you do better setting the expectation and the boundaries. Okay, so that's the reason we're disciplining. Then the basic principle of three strikes and you're out is clear communication, clear expectations. The kids know exactly what three strikes and you're out mean. They know exactly what the consequences are going to be for disrespect or for lying or for not following through with chores or whatever. And you can all agree on what those are going to be. Like, let's say they're supposed to do their chores and they didn't follow through. One of your consequences for three strikes and you're out might be that they have to go scrub all the toilets in the house, or they need to mop the kitchen floor. They need to take on an extra chore. Not only do the one they didn't do, they don't escape from that, but the punishment, the consequence, is that they have to take on something else. So one of the things that one family I had did was every time the kids didn't do something that they had promised to do and didn't follow through with, is the parents would hand them a cardboard box. And it was a box probably that was about, 24 inches by 18 or 24 inches deep. So it was, it was a pretty good sized box. They had to go out in the yard and fill that box with weeds. And they hated it. And so it was good. The double whammy was they got the garden weeded or whatever. And they also, the kids had to do it right. I mean, the box was checked. They weren't allowed to put all the dirt in there. They had to pull weeds, not good stuff, things like that. So there are consequences you can have that help the family and that kids are motivated not to have to do again. So these things are all talked about as a family. And it's kind of cute when families sit around and do this, because the kids are participating in what would be a fair consequence. And you can get them into that mode. You can say, look, if you were a dad and your kid came up and you found out that, that they hadn't done their chore like they were supposed to and they'd just been playing video games, what would you say? What do you think about that? And kids, when they're not being disciplined, when they're not in emotionally challenged, emotionally charged modes, can be pretty reasonable, especially our really bright kids and the kids that like fairness. It's good. They can participate in what the consequences are. So remember that as we try to teach boundaries, there are some kids that are boundary pushers and some that will more readily respect a boundary that you set. If you set your boundaries in way too tight and way too harshly, you're going to have to do a ton of discipline to keep those boundaries in effect. If you set your boundaries way too wide, your kids don't have enough structure and enough realization of what the expectations are, and you getting mad that they're not disciplining themselves within the boundaries, you set them up for failure by not having clear boundaries or level enough boundaries. They're out way too far. So sometimes kids are boundary pushers, and that makes them higher maintenance kids. And sometimes they're the type of kid that when you say, okay, this is the boundary, they just respect them. Those are easier kids to parent. And, we all hope for those kind of kids, but usually you have one of each. That's been my experience with families. Everybody says, oh, that was my hard one, and that was my easy one. And then what they're talking about is the boundaries. So if you ended up getting three difficult ones, my heart goes out to you. Dig deep. Keep parenting. Remember that childhood ends, and they're supposed to grow up and leave the house. This is good, okay? You want that to happen. And with effective discipline, raising responsible, respectful, boundary-listening kids means that they're going to grow up and be successful adults. Okay, so as you're teaching this to your children, you are also teaching it to you. So no one's going to be perfect. If you go to do three strikes and you're out, and all of a sudden you find yourself having should have done a third strike and you didn't, you gave like three strike twos, you can own that. You can say, look, I'm messing up our system here. I should have gone to strike three a couple of times ago, and I'm going to fix that. You're now in a strike three. So if you mess it up, own it. Talk about it. Go in and apologize for not following through with the rules and tell them how you're going to do it differently next time. Teach your kids that they can also say, you know, Mom, I didn't listen to you and you said strike one, and I pushed you until you ended up giving me a consequence, and I'm going to try not to do that again. And then you give them a ton of positive reinforcement for owning it, for not blaming somebody else, for being respectful in what they need to learn and how they need to do their boundaries. So that's just a really cool thing to teach our kids. And we cannot teach them to own it and accept responsibility unless we model that for them. So if you're always blaming and it's someone else's fault and it is, you can't say that you made a mistake or you did it wrong, don't expect them to. When you model that for them, it's powerful. When you reinforce it, when they give it to you, it's extremely powerful to do that. So remember the basic principles of reinforcement. If you give positive attention or negative attention to a behavior, that behavior is probably going to happen again. So we don't want to give attention to behaviors we don't want to see again, if we can at all help it. We want to do extinction when it's at all possible. We want to not pay attention to that behavior. And let me give you a whole different example of that. This might help you hold on to it. If you have a rule in your house that you never feed the dog from the table, the dog doesn't get people food, the dog goes and lays down, doesn't come and beg at the table. We've always trained our dogs that way because it's so hard when dogs beg at the table from you. So all it takes is one time of feeding the dog from the table, and you've got the dog begging at the table. Because you positively reinforce that behavior, and you did it intermittently. You can do 100 times of not feeding the dog from the table, and then the one time you do, you're going to have to go back to consistent behavior over time, consistency over time, of not feeding the dog from the table and telling it to go lay down for the dog not to beg at the table. But then if you do it again, you've taught the dog, I can beg at the table 100 times, and they'll finally give me something. So intermittent reinforcement is hugely powerful, hugely powerful. So we don't want to accidentally intermittently reinforce. We want to extinguish behaviors by not paying attention to it and to try and give it as least amount of reinforcement as possible. So in the last few minutes of this episode, let's go over it again. Three strikes and you're out. Strike one is kind, level voice, nicely, respectfully stated. You give a little bit of time. You don't go to strike two within 30 seconds. You give a little bit of time. You give them a chance to follow through. You walk away a little bit, come back in the room. Strike two is firm eye contact, your firm voice. You're still not screaming and yelling and threatening and swearing and things like that. Your firm voice, and you are stating exactly what they're doing wrong and exactly what you expect from them. Then if they don't stop and you give it a little bit of time again, if you can, you give a little bit of time, then you go immediately to strike three. And at strike three, your consequences hit. So you go back to a calm voice and you say, you know, you didn't stop arguing, you continued to be disrespectful, your mouth kept going, and now you're at strike three. You are grounded from life as you know it for 24 hours. Go to your room. You can go to your room and read a book. You can sit there and meditate, but you can't have your phone. Give me your phone. You can't have your computer. You better not turn that thing on. Stereo's off. If you turn on your stereo, if you turn on your computer, if you try to get on anyone else's phone, then those things are gone forever. So they're very clear about this. You don't have to use it in your disciplinary tactic when you're doing the strike threes, three strikes, because you've already explained this to them and they know. So have a family meeting. And another show, I'm going to give you a really cool family meeting technique how to communicate with your kids, how to communicate with your spouse, how to set goals for your family that is super positive. So we'll be working on that soon. So I hope Three Strikes and You're Out helps your family like it did mine and like it's helped countless families I've taught over 34 years. Remember to adapt it with what fits for you and fits for your kids. Use your good judgment. So good luck with your parenting. It is the hardest, best thing you'll ever do in your whole life. And our job as parents is to raise the most loving, kind, responsible adults